we have for you this afternoon, of course, Dr. Owen again, and this is Dr. David Mayer. And I guess he's been in practice 60 plus years. Is that correct, Dr. Mayer?
Going on 61st.
Going on the 61st. There you go. There you go. Well, Dr. Roy was in here yesterday, and I kept saying he's 90. He's like 91 in June, so he's already. He's already. So there we go. We're going on 61 on that end of it. And as you guys have heard, practices with his daughter, Dr. Julie, and Dr. Travis, his grandson. So that's pretty cool. I've got the daughter in right now, but I've got a few years to wait. But I'm working on the three grandsons. I think I've got one of them, but I'm still working on him. So that must be a pleasure, practicing and seeing the three generations in your practice, no doubt.
It's very exciting, and something I didn't really plan on. I sort of dreamed on it, but I didn't really have much to do with it at all. It just happened.
Well, I'd like to get a little bit more of your history, and you graduated in 1957.
From Palmer.
From Palmer.
We're talking, okay?
Very good. And can you help us? Do you know when Dr. Owen graduated? Because I can't get out of him when that was.
Well, maybe I better not say. But he did graduate, and he preceded.
And what did he say?
He said you did graduate.
but he was ahead of me 3 years, so I'm not going to say any more.
I cleared the way, that's what.
That's it. He's like a John the Baptist, you know. He had to really prepare everything.
So I'm interested. You're obviously at the top of a three-generation family in chiropractic, but everyone has the story of how did you decide to go to Palmer and be a chiropractor?
That I got to tell real quick, because if I told you a whole story, we've got to come back in the morning.
Well, we can do that too.
Okay.
So that,
real quick. I was born in Columbus, Ohio. I was sick all the time. I always had asthma, hay fever, allergies or something. And I didn't know this at the time, but when I was delivered, the cord wrapped around my neck, and then the doctor pulled me out with the clamps and strangled me. And so I was dead on arrival, and also screwed up my neck real bad. Yeah. I never recovered from that until when I was suffering constantly, and so I went into college, and I found out that the draft wanted me better than anything else. So I had to reply, and so I went for the draft exam, and there were 300 of us running around that day. I don't know if any of you ever were called up in the draft, but it's a pretty serious thing, because they said, don't bring any suitcase, don't bring your car, you're not going to need anything, we're going to take care of you for the next 4 years. And I thought, oh boy, I've had it already. So halfway through the exam, I went to this one doctor, and he looked me right in the eye, and he said, what is your name? And I told him, and I'm just going, and my asthma was kicking in that day just by chance. Woo! Thank you, Lord.
Good chance.
He said, are you always this way? And I said, no, sir, this is the best day I've had this year. I was on top then. I was feeling good. You know, I was sort of teasing him. Next thing he said, put me down. He said, we don't want you. And I said, why? He says, because we want to win this war. This was the Korea War. And so I thought, oh boy. I said, well, what do I do? He said, go back to college. So I did what he said. I went back to college, and met a classmate that said, I need somebody to help me hook up an x-ray machine. I said, I'm the one that can help, because I know electrical wiring. I'd already wired 10 houses by then, and so an x-ray machine was nothing. So I went over and hooked it up. He took me in the back room, and I thought, I don't even know what kind of doctor this guy is. You know, he could be a foot doctor, for far as I. So I hooked it up, And he looked at me and he said, did you do a good job? The doctor finally came in and asked me that. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He says, good. Sit down. We're going to x-ray you. I thought, here I am, the first guinea pig on the new equipment. I thought, did I do it right?
I hope you did.
I hope I did. So anyway, he x-rayed me, and then he looked at the x-rays, and he turned them the other way, and he said, oh, they look worse. He says, you're a mess. And I thought, this doctor's not very complimentary. So he said, sit down, I'm going to treat you. And I thought, what have I gotten into? I just came in here to hook up this guy's x-ray. I don't know what kind. He could be a horse doctor, you know? So he adjusted me. And I thought, well, that didn't hurt. You know, he adjusted my atlas. And many of you in here have your atlas adjusted. Well, it worked. And I went home that weekend, and it was the best weekend I ever had. It changed my life. I thought, this guy must be a witch doctor because he didn't do anything. All he did was touch my neck. So he told me to come back, and I came back, and I fixed more equipment for him. And he had two or three houses there that I kept working on, and I needed work to get through college. So by the time I finished, 6 weeks later, I was completely well. No asthma. Never have had asthma again since then. No hay fever. No allergy. They all disappeared with an atlas alignment. And I've been fighting for years just trying to breathe. And he did it with one adjustment. That started the whole ball rolling. So I thought, should I go back to dentistry? Uh-uh. I dropped out of dentistry because people hate their dentist. And I said, I love this guy because he helped me. And if he did it, I can do it. So I went right to Palmer College, and everybody said, you're a nutcake. He said, you don't want to become a chiropractor? They kill people. I said, no, they don't. You got the information wrong. So I went, and I didn't get to meet this guy. He had already graduated. Just about the time I was getting there, you were already graduating and going out in the field. So that's the story. Then I immediately went to Clearwater to practice and been there ever since. I never got out of there.
Very good. Well, that's a nice place to be. I've been down to visit.
Yes, you have.
I'm glad to hear that story. I've never known all that. I wondered why he was so convicted so early when I first met him. I said, this guy, you know, BJ said, get the big idea. This guy's got it. And I'm just now getting the real background for it, and I can see why he's got it. There's nothing like, you were using the word passion. Nothing make you passionate like getting well over something.
Yep.
You know, just like me, I had that constipation all those years. I get passionate every day.
You're not passionate right now, are you?
No. I took care of that before we came down.
Okay. All right.
By the way, just Roy, y'all remember from yesterday, he's a one-liner. And I expected laughter all through this thing. And when I'm here, we're going to be up here with Dave today. He's not a jokester.
So, yeah. And Dr. Owen just told me in the back, he goes, now you're not going to get all those one-liners and jokes like you did yesterday.
He doesn't need them. Again, he'd just be him. I've known him. I loved him the first day I met him. I don't know why. But from the first day, I just said, you know, he's tall, good-looking like me.
But he was smarter. This guy is a guru of chiropractic. Not only knows chiropractic, he's passionate about it, but he's passionate about more than just treating patients. He's passionate about helping you understand how to approach them, what to do, what to say, and break down the barriers that are in there. You say, well, what am I going to do? The first patient that I see, I may have to run out the back door. listen to everything he says and what he doesn't says, because when he's not talking, he's still speaking. This guy is bubbling over with love. The first time I saw him, in Florida, he had already graduated, and he's in practice, and I'm sitting there, and he called a group together. It was called Action Committee.
Members Action Committee.
Yeah, so I thought, I'd like to see some action in profession, because we had a sad situation there. So I went there, and I met him then. And I could see this guy was, his main problem is he's in love. He's in love with chiropractic. He's in love with life. And he shares it with you. So just listen to whatever he says.
He really came because BJ was. BJ and I worked together on forming Members Action Committee. And then the FCA did not want us talking this stuff among, there was mixers. And so they.
That's right.
They kind of like didn't let us. Well, they said, if you get in the organization, help and all this, we'll recognize you and then we'll all be buddies and so forth. And so I joined in with them, formed Members Action Committee. That was what
the whole committee joined.
Yes. And we did all kind of things for
that helped chiropractic.
Right, and they didn't like it. So when the time came to, okay, we're going to play ball as partners, or is this still a one-shot deal, you know, your way?
Or the highway.
Yeah, you had to be a mixer or get out. And so I decided,
and we were outnumbered.
Oh, God, 406. But yeah, FCS is there because BJ and I just, it's time. We've gone out, and I can see what you're doing, BJ, all these years you've tried to get these people to see the light, and they're just not going to see it. So we don't put our candle out. Let them go and play their own candle. And we never did fight with FCA. We formed FCS. That was us and our belief and our ways. And by the way, y'all been listening to, you know, we have an Eagle Club. Would the number one Eagle Club member stand up, please? You've been standing, you might as well stand. Now, does that shock you? Thank you. And the day I knew I was sitting by the right guy was when Travis graduated over at Palmer. Do you know who presented him his diploma? His granddaddy. Granddaddy, can you imagine?
That was exciting.
That was
exciting.
Yes. I said, I belong to that group. They're my friends. Yes. I think your death tells your mental involvement, and your family tells your character. And I think my family speaks for my character. And certainly y'all know why he's up here. I said, we're not sitting up here by accident. We've got something they want. And then neatest thing about it, Jackie, he's such a handsome guy. He really is. He always has been. And at that graduation, she says, he's still young and handsome. I said, no, but he's just like me. you was hoping for something better. All right.
You know, it's a one thing to go into chiropractic. I went into it because I had a passion to help people like I was helped. I'd been sick for my whole life. Nobody helped me. I took every pill. I used every inhaler, underarm and overarm. Whatever it was, I tried it, and nothing helped. In fact, they tested to see what I was allergic to. They found out I was allergic to everything.
Everything, yeah.
My nervous system was so messed up, it was shorting out constantly. Anything that wasn't straight, that was me. And so immediately when I got adjusted, and this will happen to patients and you won't ever hear this story. They're just going off enjoying life. Well, that's what I did too. That chiropractor that talked about the bunch of kids that Dr. Julie was talking about, he was from Columbus, Ohio. And I'm from Columbus, Ohio. And the chiropractor that adjusted me was an old-time chiropractor, but he knew how to adjust and get and turn on the power.
Robinson.
Heron Robinson was his name.
Good to have your daughter around to help you there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we had to go back.
I need a lot of help, but you all are the core of chiropractic, and you can change the world, and you're going to. You have the knowledge. You have the position. You have the authority.
And you have the responsibility, too.
Yes.
And we're not sitting up here for nothing. I got the other things I can do. I just shouldn't be sitting out there in the hall with this guy. I mean, I do love him. I have since day one. I still do. And then he comes along with his family, and I love him, too. So we got something going here, y'all. Y'all need to tap in on everything. But isn't that funny? I just told him, don't expect to laugh a lot. David.
That's right. I'm not laughable.
He's just real, man. He is real water. And we won't have he's not a character like Roy. You know, yesterday, Roy's a character.
And John Boutwell, who should have been here.
Oh, we missed that.
Now, John, I got to tell you a quick story about Dr. John Boutwell. Some of you know her? You ever hear of him?
Yeah.
All right. Dr. Boutwell, incredible chiropractor. He knew more chiropractic than I've ever known. I've got about that much chiropractic compared to what he did and what he shared. But one time, he and Mary were at a political meeting, and they called on Dr. Boutwell to come down and speak. Well, there were about 8,000 people there, and he's not in the front row like Dr. Julie. He had to stand up and go all the way down, and just as he starts to go down, his wife says, make sure your fly is buttoned or zipped, you know. And what can you do when you're standing up? You can't be looking down at anything. You're looking at the steps, and he says, I was worried all the way down those stairs and finally got up on the platform and had to address the whole congregation or whatever it was. And he says, I was still worried whether my fly was zipped. So a lot of things will distract us in life. Don't get distracted, even about little things. All right?
Well, I guarantee you, if John was here and we had all of us together, you would all be out there in that hour. You can just feel here. She's sitting there just laughing.
Yeah.
Just, why? Why are you laughing?
He is the funniest guy.
I mean, we ain't said nothing funny. Just even mention it.
Yeah.
Well, and you had the great line yesterday that's the first time I think you ever said it. And he said it to Roy. He goes, man, if you can laugh at it, you can last at it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that is a testament of what you've got going on up here with these guys, from Dr. Boutwell, Dr. Sweat, Dr. Mayer, Dr. Rowan, because I've been around it, and there's nobody that laughs any more than they do. So that's something to think about in your mind. That emanates because they love what they do.
Amen.
They love people. And they love getting to do what they get to do with people. And they want as many people to be able to do the same thing as they've done. And so that's where it comes down to. And so people love to be around laughing people, right?
Yeah. Yep. People love a laughing man.
There you go.
I was blessed to interim Palmer in 1957, and who should end up in my class but Reggie Gold? And nobody had ever heard of Reggie Gold before. But Reggie and I got to be close friends. And Reggie was a...
Different frequencies.
Yeah. we have some millennials in here that may not remember anything about Reggie Gold, but he was...
Irene Gold.
Okay, Irene Gold. That
was the stabilizer.
Yeah.
That was the Mary Balfour.
Yeah, that was Mary.
Jackie Owen.
Yeah. We all need a stabilizer, don't
yes.
we? I've got one too, thank God.
Yes. By the way, the last time I saw you over in Clearwater, this guy, we're about the same age, you know. I'm starting to use that cane, and you know about that, walker, rider. And here's this guy cranking his motorhome up and backing out of the yard. He's going on a motor trip for a month. Was it 4 months?
Yeah.
make it worse.
If he was only gone a month, I would have been whistling Dixie.
What?
Never mind. I don't have a boat anymore because I can't get around in it. I don't have a motorcycle anymore. But what was that?
Thank God.
Thank God.
No.
Have you got a chainsaw, though?
Yeah, I got one.
All right, see? Everybody needs a chainsaw.
No, that's work. I didn't say a thing about work. That's all pleasure. What are you talking about? I tell you, yesterday afternoon was one of the most pleasurable afternoons I've had a long time up here with old Roy and cutting up with y'all. And somebody said, how'd it go? And I said, it went fine for me. I don't know about the rest of them.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I mean, I'm very humbled to be here.
Oh,
sitting right here beside the master, you know.
Get out of here.
And listen, this guy is the...
Hustler.
Yeah. They don't get any better than Tom Owen. So I'm just happy to be here. And we started out together. We're going to end up together.
Yes, sir. He has never wavered. That's another reason that I'm sitting up here talking with him, because I've known him all these years, and I've never really heard his story, how he got to be. But when BJ said, get the big idea, all else follows, I figured this fellow must have it, because he's never wavered. I mean, every time we had a meeting of any kind, whether BJ with or who, or we were forming, if it had to do with chiropractic, then this was a quiet guy. You know, Roy, he had yesterday, he ain't quiet. This quiet guy was there. Right? Always took notice of him. Always liked him, always loved him. Always thinking, he is handsome just like me, you know. But it shows, it doesn't make any difference on the personality. You got the passion, as you were saying.
Yeah.
You got it. And you his know, idea, though, I want to ask him that question. What is the big idea to you?
Well,
how many of you know what the big idea is? Really? Surprising.
That's great.
Tell them yours.
All right. My interpretation of the big idea is to realize that life comes from above down, and from the head down to the toes. I mean, that's the way the nervous system works too, isn't it?
Inside out, yep.
if you realize that life has to flow through this nervous system. It was a primary system in the whole body that developed all other eight systems. Remember that?
Yep.
In your anatomy? All systems came from the nervous system. The nervous system is the most important system in the body. And Dr. Julie already said the nervous system is just the extension of the brain. I never thought of them as separate. The nervous system, the brain, it's all tied in there. And if it's cut off, if it's pinched off, just like if you shut off water to the sprinkler system, that grass is going to start to turn a little different color. It's not going to be green. You can have them come over there and spray that stuff on there. It's still going to turn brown, and life is still going to wither if the if the spinal cord is pinched anywhere. And so the thing is, the big idea is to find where life is being cut off, the cause, and fix it and keep it right. And life will flow. Life will flow. So BJ told me, he says, Dr. Mayer, he says, if you will learn how to adjust that atlas, that's all we were adjusting back at Palmer College in the 50s. And he said, if you'll learn how to adjust that and keep it in the right position, he says, you don't have to worry about anything. He says, you'll never be poor. People will always come to you because they always want health. And so he said, don't worry about anything else. Just be passionate about chiropractic and how to turn that power on and keep it on. How about you, Stuart?
Well, John and I shared the same one. And, and it's, you just said the power. Well, to John, now the power, what is the power that you just talked about? You're talking about innate. It's a power. Yes, yes. It's life itself. It's the whole power. And John and I used to just thrive off of innate is all powerful and all resourceful. That's what we lived. And
and BJ knew that.
Oh, yes.
Lived that.
Oh, yes. We had no troubles when we used to go down to, much later when BJ retired, and we'd go down
to Sarasota.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd fly in and have a fly-in, you might say, chiropractic. And we were hosted by him. And it wasn't strange to us in any way. Not in any way. But there was a fellow named Kramer, Ed Kramer.
Oh, yeah.
You remember?
I forgot about him.
Well, he and BJ were big buddies because he lived off the thing. Innate, not as he didn't know, they all innate. The innate can do anything. The innate, what he's talking about?
Beyond them all imagination.
Yes, beyond the body. It can do anything.
Beyond your mind.
Yes. Dr. Hidson, is she here, in here? Oh, there you are. And have any of you noticed in her core two that there's a whole different dimension there that people are finding themselves? That's where it all is, folks. You came with it. You were given it when you were born, or you wouldn't have been born.
Right.
If it's all powerful, all resourceful, it can do anything. And sometimes, well, I've told some of my tape stories of him, how he, some of the tricks he did, and Janelle's getting her own history into that, just letting the innate be innate. That's the biggest thing, get yourself out of the way. As he said, once you get that turned on, you don't have to heal nothing. Just stand back and watch it.
Let it go.
Who healed your asthma?
We don't have to guess, do we?
No. If someone said the body is beside me, the body is a self-healing mechanism, but it is not a self-correcting mechanism.
That's right.
Mechanism.
That's right.
So all he was telling you that you need to correct it, and from then on it'll do its own healing. But thank you, I don't need you. You know, it's kind of like God.
Yeah.
Come sit beside me and don't move.
One time I went down to CBJ, and my wife and I, I'd only been in practice maybe about a year, so I was a newbie.
Wow.
Any newbies here? Yes. Isn't it great to be a newbie? You're only a newbie for a little while, though, so enjoy it. So I thought, I think I'll just call BJ, because when I was in college, I got to see BJ almost every day in one place or another. And naturally, on Fridays, you had to be there, or you were X'd out. So you had to be there because BJ was going to speak. And he spoke for maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours. You were just there. It was mandatory, no excuse. Anytime that BJ was there. So this time I'm in Sarasota, and I've already graduated and been in practice for a year. So I thought, I'll just call BJ. So I called him, and he said, I said, hi, BJ, this is David Mayer from Palmer College. He said, yes. And then he was real quiet. And I says, well, he says, well, what are you doing down there? I said, well, my wife and I and Dr. Julie, she wasn't a doctor, then she was only this big then. Yeah, high as a stethoscope. And I said, we were just passing through.
He was telling me stories on you already.
And so he said, well, don't you want to come and see me? And I thought, I never had BJ ask me that. Don't you want to want to come and see me? And I said, well, yeah. He says, well, come on over. So I went on over. And when we got there, he said, well, my butler and my...
Do you remember the sign on the door over there beside the door, what it said? One side said BJ.
Oh, yeah.
And what the other side say?
I'm trying to think. I remember the sign, but I can't remember the word. You remember it.
Yes, I do.
Tell me.
Most of it. Just,
tell me.
If you're a well-wisher or welcome wisher, time allotted, 2 minutes. And there's all these allotments of time, church members, you get 1 minute and so forth. Chiropractors wanting to talk chiropractic, unlimited.
All right.
24/7. And it was that way with him.
And that's what we did. And we went in, he had lunch prepared for us. He'd fixed the whole thing himself. We sat down and ate, and he started talking. And he told us story after story about the elephant that was under chiropractic care. I don't know who sat on the elephant to adjust him, but we didn't get to that part of it. So finally I said, well, I think we got to go. We can't be here too much longer. He said, no, you're going to spend the night here. By that time he had little Julie sitting on his lap, on his knee, just bouncing her up and down. And so how did she get chiropractic? She couldn't miss it. It was ingrained in her. So,
You didn't happen to go to the bathroom while you were there, did you?
I don't remember. Well, I probably did. I mean, we were there long enough.
I went.
You told me you'd tell me if you...
Were working.
Yeah. A passion is starting already.
No, that's just BJ.
Oh, okay.
I remember standing up there combing my hair, you know, in the mirror, and I felt, this is a strange floor you got here. And I looked down, and you know what I'm talking about? that mat he had in the bathroom, it was all women's breasts, you know, styrofoam. Not styrofoam, rubber. Yeah, I was standing on women's breasts just.
Oh my land!
Going from who in the world would do that other than BJ Paul?
I've heard of tiptoeing through the tulips, but.
Well, that was. Gotta try it sometime.
Woo!
Well, you had been there, I thought surely you were. He'll remember that, taking his daughter in a place like that.
I was in diapers.
Huh?
I was in diapers.
Yeah, you were. I was in class one day, and BJ came in, and he looked over and sat down beside me. There was a guy sitting on this other side, and he had a big cigar in his pocket there. Whipped it out, he said, "You're too young to smoke." So he put it in his pocket. It was an expensive cigar, too, probably from Cuba, you know.
We weren't going to laugh in this class, y'all.
So I've been told to ask you guys about, you guys ended up taking the Florida board together, even though you graduated a few years apart. And I've been told there's a car trip story to get you to Miami or somewhere to take the board. Do we, is that something to share?
You'll have to tell, I don't remember.
Now, that was the basics, was that the basic science?
I guess okay. It was.
Yeah, we had to take that before we could take a board back then.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a long trip all the way from Palmer to Miami to take the exam.
Yes.
And there were 5,000 of us there taking the exam. Now, we weren't all chiropractors.
No, I had an MD copying over my shoulder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get out of here.
And it was bedlam, you know. I realized that I had only studied every day for 6 hours a day just for the basic science. I said, I'm going to pass this. I'm going to get at least 70%. That's all I have to do. I don't have to come in with 100.
Right.
So one thing that I really knew was bacteriology and chemistry, because I had a job at the college preparing everything for all the students every day in the chemistry department and the bacteriology. So I saw all the papers, all the tests, and we went over them, and went over them, did that. So I sat down there, I looked at the test, and I thought, this is pathetic. I just went down to check. I was through in 15 minutes.
Why didn't you call me? I could use some help.
And there was a medical doctor sitting right beside. I just happened to be familiar with it, really familiar. Medical doctor said, "Oh my God," he said, and we weren't supposed to say anything in
right.
there. If you said anything, they usually tore up your papers and everything, but it just upset.
Remember they call those guys proctors?
Oh yeah.
They had proctors walking around.
Yeah.
Well, and I know where they got that name.
Yeah.
Nice. But was there a car trip? How did you guys get there, and who was driving? And
Yeah, I forgot about that. So I drove all the way from Palmer, and I got down into the Chattanooga area, and I was getting a little tired. And I thought, why don't one of you guys take over? So I'm not going to mention who, but somebody took over. And we started driving down the freeway, and all of a sudden, there's two semis coming right at us. And this guy's in the wrong lane. The guy that's driving our car, you know. And psh, we just barely escaped it, you know. And I thought, you better pull over up here. I think we need to check the tires or something. So we pulled over, checked the tires. It really wasn't the tires. I said, I'm refreshed. I'm ready to drive now. I drove all the way to Miami. I wasn't tired at all. My eyes were wide open then. And it was midnight, you know, at that time, and raining.
But you got one thing wrong.
Okay.
You said it was in the expressway. There were no expressways.
No, there weren't any expressways.
No, that was 441. That was no expressway.
That's right, 441. Wow.
Yeah.
But we made it. And then
I don't know
after we passed, after we did the exam, I didn't think I passed it. I thought, oh my God, I must have screwed up for sure, because I talked to somebody and they said, you did what, Dave? And I said, well, I thought the black ones were arteries. He said, those were veins. I thought, oh, I did the whole anatomy exam wrong. So we're driving home. Again, I'm at the wheel because I love to drive. I love to survive. So everybody is saying, man, I'm so tired. Everybody's in the backseat zonking out, you know. And I said, how about one of you guys taking over? They were all sound asleep. So I just eased off the road. Went off about 50 feet off the road.
You can't go that far.
Well, I did then. I was dangerously off the road. And so I just kicked back and went to sleep. Woke up 3 hours later. Everybody was still sleeping. I just started up, turned back on the road, and started driving again. And they said, how did you do that, Dave? I said, I don't know. Nobody knew I went to sleep. But it was a good sleep. I was refreshed. Then I could drive the rest of the way. So anyway, we passed the exam. That's the main thing. Oh, okay. Okay. Out of 5,000 that took the exam, 300 passed. Here's one, the number one. He got the highest grade. I got the lowest, but 70 will still make it.
I cheated.
Yeah, he copied off of mine.
How did he win at golf? Cheat.
No, well, Dr. Roy, it ain't how good you golf, it's how good you can bet.
Anyway, Dr. Tom was telling me about a new diet that he's been on. And I says, well, tell me. He says, it's a high-protein diet.
I says, I talked to you then?
You forgot it already. He says, it's good for the memory? I said, oh, well, then I need it for sure. So he said, and I've been on it for 4 weeks already, and he says, and I lost 3 days. I don't know how you did it.
If there's anything to start up in Florida, I was in on it. I guarantee you. No, he was such reminding me a while ago, he said, you know, there wouldn't really be any chiropractic in Florida if it hadn't been for you. You know, that was true. It was that bad. I mean, they hated us.
Thank you for stepping up.
Amen. Yeah,
yes.
We did it because it needed doing. That's it.
He not only stepped up, he stood up and he kept going. And the organization that he helped form, it was a counter agent to FCA. It was called FCS, and it just went off the charts. And the membership is growing and growing still.
Yes, over 1,000 members.
53
isn't it?
Years now.
Huh?
53 years now. Y'all have FCS.
53 years.
Yeah, 53 years.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember. That was key stuff. Yeah.
It's that high protein that does it.
No, I remember discussing that with BJ before, you know, this has got to be done. That's just, but at the 50-year anniversary thing, I got up there, everybody was saying something, the old timers, including me, since I was the one that started. I just, and about the time, somewhere in there, that we started that thing. I think that was when my son got sick with cancer.
Oh.
And that was, I drew off everything. I mean, every board I was on, my focus was on him. And I remember I'm kind of like a guy that voted County dry and then moved. You know, I started this thing and just left it. And the rest of the guys, including him, stayed in there and made that thing happen. And when we had that get together, I got up to say something. Can y'all believe I couldn't hardly talk? I was up here crying. Jackie, I thought, was getting embarrassed because it's her husband, professional speaker, basically, up there crying, can't say nothing. But I was just looking at those guys and thinking, they took that ball that we made for them, but if they hadn't acted on it, it'd be just a ball sitting there in the field. But they made it happen. And I just felt so humbled to be among them.
And started it.
It was funny, I was being honored, but it was you that made it happen. I just reported for you. And that was the thing about you. I don't care what it was. It had to do with chiropractic. This guy would report for you. You'd see him on the, he was tall and he got in the back of the pictures. You could always find him real easy. But he's always ready to do his part. He always was.
That's our job, isn't it? Do our part. We can only do so much, you know?
You've done a bunch.
No, I'm just following along. I haven't done anything, really. It's up to you all to really do it.
Well, you give us some kids to kind of help us.
Yeah.
Yep. Dr. David, this is more for me, and if they want to listen, that's fine. But you obviously, BJ was adjusting the Atlas.
Yes.
And were you guys toggling at that time?
Yes.
You were toggling at that
yes.
time.
Yes. First 25 years of my practice, I was toggling.
Okay, and that's what I was asking is.
And I'm.
No, the first couple of years you toggled. You went to the Grostic work in 1961 or 62.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
I know that's
all right.
True.
Okay, that's right.
Because I wonder what in the hell is wrong with him.
Thank you.
Why can't you be like the rest of them?
I got to eat more protein. I see my memory is failing.
I couldn't hardly believe that Grostic thing. Holy mackerel. I've been up there working with BJ, you know, catching him as he bounced. He hit him and I caught him. And he Grostic.
It works. It works.
You proved it.
And what led you to that, or to even look at the Grostic adjustment, or?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Okay, when I was in Palmer, I was taking care of student patients, and so I walked by where all the doctors were sitting. These were the instructors, and one of them said, "Come over here, Dave." So I said, "I'm in trouble already." So he said, "You would make a good Grostic doctor." He was talking a foreign language to me. I didn't know what Grostic was. I says, "Well, thank you." I says, I'll look into that.
Well, you
I didn't really look into it. So I got my practice going and had a lot of families. You know, they all came in. So one lady said, "Are you going to get into Grostic?" Outright, she just asked me, you know. I still didn't know what Grostic was. And I said, "I don't think so." She said, "I'm sorry to hear that, because we're all leaving. We found a Grostic chiropractor over in Tampa. We got to drive 20 miles, and we'll go 20 miles to see him." So bye-bye. I had about 12 patients leave, and that was about half my practice. at that time.
It hurt.
It hurt me. I thought, you mean there's something that is better than BJ taught me? BJ taught me how to adjust that atlas. And folks, I'm a little weird. I've only adjusted the atlas for 60 years. I've got a lot of living before me, so maybe if you tell me what else works, I might consider something else. But right now, that's the main thing that works for me and for our office. And nothing has ever been adjusted other than the atlas.
No, he stayed there. I did.
And so you went and started studying the Grostic, and that must be where you encountered Dr. Roy at that time.
He was in one of the first classes I went to. And who else was there? In the front row, John Bowell. And he was the life of the whole class. I mean, anything he said was just a riot. You know, he had a wealth of humor stored up in him. Because he said, I'm only about well. He says, I'll never be well. You've heard that story before.
Yeah, he should.
Roy mentioned it yesterday.
But I heard it from him, you know.
Because that's exactly where he is right now. Oh, by the way, I gave y'all his address. And y'all be sure and write him.
You know what happened to him? We didn't know. See, we just got here. Tell us what happened.
Well, they know. I told them yesterday that he had fell down the steps, a whole floor, and broke his pelvis. And that's painful, buddy.
Wow.
And as he was telling me this, I just started hurting. I just, sympathetic pain. And then he had 3 times they had to go back with an infection in your pelvis.
Oh, my.
And he wanted to come so bad. I was even to the point of getting Daryl to go take a film of him and let him talk to us, because I know of John's heart. And he said, I'll be there, Tom, if I can possibly be there. And I was hearing Mary in the background, you ain't going nowhere, John Bowell. Mary won out. No, but he would, I could tell he was so bad that I finally said, John, I wouldn't come if I was you. He's that bad. But John was a light man. He really was. And y'all missed a lot by him not being here, even though I could see him in all that pain. Yeah. But I bet you he'd have you laughing within less than a minute. Probably less than that. His brother was just as bad. Bert.
And Dr. Bowell was a powerful character. I remember the first time I got to meet him was actually at you and Miss Jackie, I think we were downtown Atlanta. It was your anniversary, and we put on an anniversary party. And Bert 50. And John were there, and I'd heard all these stories. And it was the first time that I'd met John Boutwell. At that time, I had actually already met. I knew the twins. I knew Randall and Daryl. Daryl, my other brother Daryl, is what I call him. And that's an old show. A lot of you don't remember that one. But anyways,
I remember that.
I remember getting to meet John Boutwell for the first time, and I had heard all these stories. And I remember walking up and introduced myself. And John just, he took my hand and he just rocked back. And he got like 3 inches taller. I don't know how he did it, but he got like 3 inches taller when he met me. And he just rocked back and just stared down at me. And I was, you know, and I'm like, man, I'm looking him in the eye. And I'm like, you know, I'm trying to, you know, be as powerful as I can be. And I'm meeting the great John Boutwell. And man, I stood there for a minute, and all of a sudden I'm just like, oh, and then he took me down. He was just that powerful, just being there.
You don't know what you walked into.
And then, you know, he has spoke at AMC a couple of times. We had him for some of our big events, and I always loved his stories. And you talk about being funny, you know, and the patient's asking him, do I have to come the rest of my life? And he says, no, Mary, you can you can quit and die anytime you're ready. You know, that was his patient management. Right. And you probably got to be John Boutwell to pull that off, right? And anyways, John's a great character.
Oh, man, you got to remember the stories behind him, even though he's not here to tell you about it. But I was along, and he was like a brother to me. We grew up together in mostly innate and chiropractic. But he, his office was right down the street from the medical school, the Augusta Medical School. And I've been there with him when we picked those things off his dashboard, or his windshield. Say, hi, the duck's flying today. Or, John, hi as they want to. But he ended up, they invited him down to the, and he addressed the classes at that medical school. And they were there to destroy him. He was a subject matter. He advertised a lot, and he had a big practice, and they kind of were aiming him. But he got out there, and I've heard the presentation he made, but he made them crawl under the table for being MDs. He really put it on them. And he did it mostly with questions. He said, well, how much, you know, how many people have you helped really healed? How many people have you, what would you do if you had someone with constipation or whatever? And what would that do to help that patient other than patch it up or something? But he put them on the defense, nailed them to the wall. They never fooled with him, no more. But of all people, it would be John Boutwell to do it. If it invited me down there, I'd say, I'll see you later, alligator. I ain't going to there and let them work me over like that. I like an even board, but John, he'd take it on. Y'all really have some wonderful people to, just like here's a room full of people. What are you here for? What's this class about? Julie's, she taught you something. But now you just listen to a couple old timers up here. But you're looking at examples of it.
But I remember this guy. The first time I met him, I almost forgot to tell you this.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. The first thing I noticed about this guy, and he was sitting across me about that far away where this lady is, and he's looking at me with those beady eyes. And I just felt a love. And what's the next thing he's talking about? Now, he won't remember this because he'd been not eating his protein. His favorite saying back then, first time I met him, he says, you've got to love your patients and love them lavishly. And that will open their hearts. If you're the big shot, that doesn't open their heart. You've got to love those patients right where they are because they're sick and you're there to help them. So just love them.
You talking about Boutwell right there, not me.
No, that's what Tom used to preach.
That's right. Because I used to wonder, why do people come listen to me? And that's
love.
What I...
Love. Yeah, love is what attracts, you know?
It had to
and
be.
Following love goes passion. All right, we know what comes with passion, you know? That's what gets things completed and accomplished, you know, passion. So I just ask that each one of you just grab on to that passion that you have and let it grow, because it's not big enough yet. You've got to have a passion that you really want to see everyone sitting beside you in the theater healed. going down the street, people in the houses, think about them. These are people that need your help.
And they can't get anywhere else, folks. That's, well, he's asking that about passion. I'm asking you to realize who you are and what you represent, because you should not have to have any acupuncture or anything like that. I told you about that, didn't I? I hired that acupuncturist. Did I tell you all that story? May I?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, I told it up at the Gostead Club, but I remember it was right when Nixon made his trip over and discovered all this. It was on the newspapers, on TV. Acupuncture was a hot item. And man, people were just beating the doors down to get to them. And I said, I'm a pretty good marketer. And entrepreneur, that's a market, man. So I wanted to get it. And I didn't want to be half-assed at it. I want to be good at it. So Eric Tao, who was one of the world's top acupuncturists, happened to be in this country for a few months. And I hired Eric out of Washington State. He was over there somewhere. Flew him clear over to Jacksonville and hired him into my clinic to teach my guys acupuncture. But when he got to hanging around with real chiropractors, and he began to tap into our philosophy, so forth, I finally had to pull him off one day. I said, Eric, I paid you to come all the way over here to teach my guys acupuncture, not for us to teach you chiropractic. He got clear off of acupuncture. He wanted to know about this chiropractic. That's y'all. That's us. That's how good we really are.
That's because you'll find out that in chiropractic, we can take a patient that is near death's doorstep and turn that patient around by turning on the power of the nervous system and let innate flow, all right? Acupuncture can only stimulate or retard. Now, do you want to be retarded?
No, they can transfer too. They can transfer chi.
Or do you want to stimulate? Well, you can drink something and be stimulated too. But that's all acupuncture can do. So realize that they're not healing anyone. They're stimulating some part of the body or retarding it.
That's true.
That's it.
And you got to know. And how they can just go to the body and know that spot. Don't you believe it. It ain't going to happen that way. You got to know what you're doing, man. If you got a hold of something great, which we do, then you got to treat it like it's something great. You yourself have to realize. And I think that's one of the greatest things at AMC. We hang in there. We got something great, and we don't have. Bert Bowell, he read the laws of success 8 times. And I remember saying, Bert, you're a pretty bright fella. You're not really that dense. It takes 8 times for you to read a book to get it. He said, oh, I got it the first time, Tom. He says, and from that point on, why keep reading other stuff when you've already found it?
That's right. Be content.
When you've already found it, and we have already found it, we have, and all this history, and we've already proved it to you. Look at him. Have you seen the Mayor Clinic over there that you heard about? I remember the first day I walked in there, I had to duck. Because that old building, they didn't have central air when that was built. Y'all put in central air. He did. And you lost about a foot or two of your ceiling. It was already low. And you take me, a guy my size, I come in, I got humble. I didn't want to hit that ceiling, nowhere. But you go in there, and this is where it all happens, yes.
First patient came in, and it was cold that winter. We don't usually have cold winters, but this winter, it went down to 17 degrees. And I'm thinking, I don't have any heat, you know? So I was running around the office trying to stay warm, waiting for the first patient to come. And I had on my overcoat. I had one of these pea jackets, you know, like Navy people. Man, it was nice and warm. As soon as I'd hear the bell ring, patient come in, I'd take off my coat. I'd be in just my shirt. And a patient would come in, and it was so cold in that office, I just didn't have any heat, and I didn't understand what to do. This was a small office, but it was still cold as can be. And I think that I was just lucky to have a friend that was in the heating business. And he says, I'll help you out. So he brought a heater over. And he says, now, you've got to hook it up. And he brought some pipe along. We hooked it up. It started heating. And I thought, wow, we got heat now. Only problem is that there was a cap on the chimney. We hadn't had that kind of cold weather in Florida for years. They concreted the chimney over.
Oh,
so
no.
All the smoke would go up the chimney from this oil furnace, and then it would come back down. And the next morning we come back in and everything's black.
They don't relate or appreciate that.
No.
They really don't.
But come to Florida, it's warm now.
Yeah.
And we need it, because you need to keep Florida green.
There you go.
I had heat, buddy. A big old barrel of it, full of oil, you know. All I was doing was burning that oil.
Yeah, you're ready.
Yeah, but when the patient came in, I had to close all the doors. God, get hot. Poor old patient over there, sweating like mad. Yo, we're not going through all that. No. But the part with Dave was, to me, he's like a rock. He never wavered one bit all the years I've known him. He's been just what he is represented to you today. And that shows it doesn't take the personality, it takes the principles. Principles override personality. Roy had that crazy personality. He's just the opposite. Did it work for Roy? Yeah. Did it work for him? Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it work for John? Yes.
Did it work for you?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Bunch of times. I got to tell on John. Talking about where he opened his office there on, what street is that?
Walton Way.
Who popped that out? Okay, yeah. He was real next to a drive-in restaurant. He built a board across there. He could crawl out on that board and order breakfast. And did it. Poor old Mary. And to go to the bathroom, they had to open a window, big old push-up windows type, climbed out on the back porch, walked down the back porch, which is about 30 feet. You're out in the open, man. You're exposed. And that means look and cold to go to the bathroom, because his bathroom was on the back where they had converted a room. Now, that is dedication, y'all. I learned something from that principle, though. Everywhere you learn principles, principles remain. And I remember Mary Boutwell pushing John to get a house. Now, where I opened up, I had it upstairs, and we lived up. We could have a kitchen and all that stuff. They didn't. But Mary pushed him to get that new house. He was the first one to get a new home. Wonder why that happened. Well, I think the greatest demand was his wife pushing him, yes? So all those clinics I opened in the beginning, I always made them live in the same building, in that clinic. And the more pressure I could put on that wife, the more I'd do. Because I knew she would motivate the hell out of him till he got her a house. And I tell you, when the day came that I started letting them get houses, I lost a lot of motivation from it. But that principle, you get an unhappy woman, and she'll push you to do things you don't want to do, but you will do, including myself. That has nothing to do with, it does too. It has to do with anything.
Well, we appreciate you two. And what I'd like to do now is we'll close up, but I'm sure you guys would like to come up and maybe get a picture or something if they don't mind hanging out for a photo op and getting a couple pictures, and you guys can shake their hand and talk to them personally. But obviously, you know, what they've meant to the chiropractic, to the profession, and what, you know, it's ours, you know. They're handing it off, so to speak. What are we going to do with it? Where are we going to take this? And from what they've learned and understand and share with us, and what are we going to use moving on? And obviously, great mentors of mine. I haven't seen Dave very much. The first time I ever met Dr. Dave was at an upper cervical conference 2 years ago. And he came, and it was down in Orlando, and Dr. Julie was kind enough to have me speak at this upper cervical conference.
Oh, really?
And I went up there and spoke, and come up, and I met Dr. Dave, and gave me one of the greatest compliments anyone has ever given me in my life. And he goes, "My gosh, you were up there, and I swore it was Tom Owen up there speaking. From years ago, I would have sworn it was him."
Dear God. I apologize.
I said it was a compliment. And so that was one of the best compliments anyone has ever given me. And just like Dr. Owen, I loved the guy from the moment I met him. I loved him. Of course, I already knew what he was about because of the other people I knew that he had developed and so forth.
The two things that you can look at either one of us to any claim that we might have to what we're talking about here is both of us knew how to do this.
Amen.
And so I'll show up for duty. It might not be pleasant, but I'll be there. And when I'm through, I'm going, "What's our next order, sir?" And you learn to look right here for that next order. But sometimes it can come from outside, too.
That means 7 o'clock on Monday morning. Be ready at the office.
I try to forget those days. Don't call me before noon. Tom used to say, "Dad, you used to teach us to save money, but you're not saving it." And I said, "I ain't practicing no more either. I'm retired."
I get the first picture.
Okay.
Oh, let me get my glasses on. We'll
take a couple.
All right. Give them a big round of applause.
Thank you.
That
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you.